Well, we're going to look at the Lord's Supper tonight, and we're going to remember the Lord together. Very important meal. As a matter of fact, this is the most important meal we can ever have. Yes. And so open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 14, and let's look at verse 17. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, It is I. And he answered, and he said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born.
Wow.
Can you believe that? You can't tell me right here, right now, that that was God's choosing. That was a man that exercised his will. By his own will, he betrayed the Lord. God didn't orchestrate this and bend Judas's heart to betray the Lord. It was the devil that filled his heart, and he let him. That's a big statement to say by our Lord. It's better for him if he weren't born. Notice in verse 22, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread, blessed and brake it, and gave it to them, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. We all know this is a symbol, a picture, because we know from other scripture that Jesus forbids cannibalism. Is that right? So this is a picture. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will not drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And they went, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus singing? Would have loved to hear his sweet voice. Amen. That would have sung a song, or a Passover psalm or something like that. That would have been just wonderful just to hear him sing. I want you to see about four different things here. He took. This will symbolize the provision that God has given. He took bread. God provided the bread of life for us. And then he blessed it. Over here, blessing is to give thanks to the Lord. Praise God for the provision that he gives us. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. But not only that, notice he broke. We know that this is a picture of his body being broken. This is a picture of his suffering. Peter said this. In 1 Peter, he says, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. And then he distributed. We know that God gave his Son for us, and we know that Jesus gave his life for us. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 5. You see this, the Godhead in this verse. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all. For all means all, amen. To be testified in due time. But we know the exchange doesn't take place until that person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you believed on the Lord? I know many of saints of God are here tonight, believed on the Lord. And only believers can partake of this. I wasn't a believer when I used to partake of these things. As a matter of fact, I actually thought in my Christian tradition that these things here were the literal body and blood of Christ. It was the traditional upbringing of my religion. They made me believe that these were the true body and blood. And so I thought I had to go to church and take these elements so I could be free from sin. But didn't realize that these were only pictures pointing me to Christ. And thank God, 15 years ago, the gospel came to me, the truth of God's word. And I partook, if you will, by believing on him. And the Bible says he became a ransom. You know what a ransom is? I tried to explain this last week, or just the week past, with Elisha and Charity and Matthias. I tried to let them know that suppose Matthias was kidnapped. And they're all looking at me like that. Someone taking him away. Man stealers, the Bible calls it. And they rang me up and they said, if you want Matthias back, you have to come up with $1 million. Oh, I don't have $1 million. Get $1 million from? That's a ransom I cannot pay. How heartbreaking that would be, though. I want to pay the ransom, but I can't. But what if someone steps in and says, I have $1 million. I'll pay the ransom for you. And I try to explain to them, that's how it was. We have a problem, and it's called sin. And sin and death and the devil has captured us. We're in the grip of these. And to be redeemed or bought back, someone has to pay down the payment, the paid price, and it was our Lord Jesus Christ. And there was an exchange that took place. On that cross, Jesus was paying for our sins. On that cross, he destroyed the works of the devil. On that cross and his resurrection, he defeated death. He paid the ransom that we could not pay. And we're free now. We're free. We're liberated. We've been released. We've been forgiven, but we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Amen? And that price wasn't with silver or gold, pennies or riches. It was with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though the gift is precious, we always have to remember it was expensive. God's own blood. Can you think about that? Emmanuel's veins spilt on that cross for our sins. The provision. Thank God for it. He took, he blessed, he broke for us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Why? Why? For Christ also have one suffered. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. We're not just free. We haven't just been redeemed. But notice, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath one suffered for sins, for the just for the unjust, that what? He might bring us to who? God. There it is. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit of God. The whole point of it, brethren, was for us to come back to God in the fellowship of God. A lot of people, a lot of professing believers in our day just want to be freed from sin, hell, and death, but don't desire this true intimate relationship with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to who? The Father. The whole point was to buy us back to God. So we'd be together with him, we'd have a fellowship with him, personal relationship with him. It was to bring us back to God. He is the mediator. And on that cross, it was like he was gripping the hand of man and the hand of God and bringing them together. And that's what Jesus was called to do. And tonight we remember the sacrifice behind this. So what do we learn from this? It's simple, but sometimes we forget it. How much God loved us. That's what we remember. He loved us, that he gave his son for us. And we easily forget that. How much he loved us, what he went through to purchase us, we easily forget that. The Lord wasn't initiating the Lord's Supper so we'd feel guilty. No, the Lord was initiating the Lord's Supper so our love will be renewed for him, revived and refreshed, alive. And always thriving, we would not cease to give thanks to God. That's all he wants. God wants us to be appreciative Christians. Christians that will appreciate him, love him, honor him, and praise him. 1 John says this, we love him because he first loved us. So we see the love of God for a purpose that we may love him back. A lot of people want to major on the love of God, and we ought to, because it's the motivation that brings us to God. But we cannot forget that God wants us to love him back. And this helps us to remember that God, we ought to love him. Joshua said this, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. The psalmist says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. In the 1 Corinthians, Paul mentions this to the Corinthians. I sometimes wonder why he writes in his epistle, and just out of the blue, he writes, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Just comes out of nowhere. And we know that believers are the ones that ought to love the Lord. Non-believers don't love the Lord. But you know, the believer's love for the Lord can grow cold. It happened to the church of Ephesus, didn't it? And as Christians, we need to make sure that our love for him never grows cold. You wake up in the morning and you say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for my salvation. Oh, if I wake up in the morning and I don't recognize the Lord that way, I know there's something wrong. I want to practice the presence of God every moment of every day. Yes. And it's good to wake up and say, good morning, Lord. Yes. Thank you for saving me. Yeah, it's good. Roll out of bed. I know it's hard to roll out of bed while it's winter. Yeah, but roll. A man of God said, failure to love God's son is a crime against God. The psalmist says, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and ye perish in the way. Kiss him. Remember that woman that couldn't stop kissing his feet? She couldn't stop kissing. Did you hear it, Simon? Did you hear the woman? Do you hear the woman kissing? I walked in, you didn't do anything. Didn't even wash my feet. Didn't give me a kiss. Nothing. And this woman right here couldn't stop kissing me from the first time I came in. Why? Because she understood what it meant to be forgiven much. So she loved much. And tonight we remember how much we've been forgiven. So we love him. Two Christian friends stood in a large railway station and watched express trains fly by. One said to the other, did you see that powerful engine? And the other Christian friend said, yes, on the rails, it's powerful. But off the rails, it's nothing. And he said, it's like a Christian. When he continues to fall in love with God and has that intimate love with God, he's on the rails. But when the love dies out, he's off the rails and he's powerless. May God help us tonight remember the love of God that we may love him back.